We are the team. We are the cream. We are the best.
Yeah, this is the Hot Spurs podcast, the Ginger Pele of Spurs shows, with Colin McKee, the former model from Northern Ireland, and Steve Robinson from Leon C in Essex. With all the latest news and views from White Hart Lane, this is the Hot Spurs podcast.
We're going to do it once more. Right, Clemens, Mitchell, Thomas, Gary, Steve and Steve Hodge. They're all going to put on the show.
Not allowed to be negative, Cole. Not allowed to be positive, apparently, as a Spurs fan. What's going on?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. We'll just have to go our way and see what comes off of this.
I know. Every time you have an opinion, you've got to say, in my opinion, at the end of it. And then if you disagree with someone, they say to you, what, am I not allowed an opinion? And you go, well, yeah, but I'm just saying my opinion. Why do you always have to say in my opinion, or is that your opinion? Well, what's my opinion? You're just having a conversation, aren't you? Crazy. Right, anyway, mate. That was better, wasn't it?
Yeah, far better. It was. I thought it was a great game of football. It was enjoyable. You know, it was good to watch. I thought they performed well, and really, in my eyes, deserved probably to win the game. You know, except for a certain Wayne Rooney, I think it could have been quite a comfortable match for us. But just nice to see everybody, you know, having a go for a change, Steve. Obviously, you were at the game, and you can talk about it a bit better than me, but we just seemed to want it. The crowd seemed to be up for it as well. And as we said on the last show, Sunday was all about what response we got. And it was going to show, you know, was there infighting in the changing room, or were players not with AVB? You know, Sunday's game was going to show a lot. And to me, it proved that, you know, the guys are all still there fighting for him, and everybody seems to be 100%. And maybe Man City was the kick off the backside. You know, everybody needed. And a great result in the end. Very, very unfortunate not to win it.
Yeah, I mean, picking little bits out of AVB, what he was saying, things like it's, you know, it's your club. I think he said that a lot to them this year. You know, a lot of the guys are new. And he said to them, you know, this is your career in a World Cup year. I'm presuming he's saying this sort of stuff. And this is your club, you know, what you're going to do, sort of thing. Have a look at yourselves and you know, you we're all in it together. You know, you look at the talent around the dressing room and on the training ground, you know, and it's bizarre to think, you know, what's been going on. You know, and it's not been that bad. We've just been blimmin' unlucky. You know, just going back the last two games, the Newcastle game, you know, there was a record number of saves by their goalkeeper. And I think, you know, the Man City game, Lloris made his only two mistakes he's ever made for Spurs. You know, so it just goes to show the luck involved. But listen, mate, let's bring back the scoring system for this one. It's not so depressing. So what are you giving Lloris?
I'm going to give him a one. Okay. I thought he had a great game. Obviously, you know, he was under a wee bit of pressure after last week's performance. Very, very steady. Strange one with the penalty, Steve. You know, when I watched it live, you know, I sort of thought, yeah, it's a penalty straight away. You watch it after, yes, you know, Welbeck maybe holds his leg, but look, I think if that had been the other way around, we'd have all been screaming for a penalty, and I think possibly the referee got it right on the day. So I've no qualms with that. That's one of the sort of dangers with, you know, Lloris being that guy that comes off his line so quick. And these are some of the things that can possibly happen with him, but wouldn't change him, wouldn't have him any other way, but real good steady game.
Yeah, it's one of those ones where if you get it, you know, both sides of the argument, isn't it? You know, we thought we were hard done by. Man United would say it was definitely a penalty. You know, when you look back on it, it was more a penalty than not. But at the time, with the way the ball changed direction, I thought that got his glove to it rather than Welbeck knocking it away. But what I will say is it does annoy me the way these referees are so theatrical in giving the penalty. I don't know if they showed it on telly, but it's like this Mike Dean did a little hop, skip and a jump and then ran as fast as he could, pointing and whistling to the centre spot like, you know, yeah, it's a penalty, definite penalty. You know, just point to the spot, mate. You know, give the penalty and then walk in the opposite direction and then wave away the players. instead of this whole theatrical thing that they love to do these days. But I'm not going to have too much of a go at Mike Dean because I know that Arsenal fans absolutely hate him. They don't think he gives them anything either. But look, you know, Lloris, okay, he gets a one from me just because he didn't make too many other mistakes in the game. And, you know, all that coming out stuff is, you know, you want him to do that more than not, so that's fine. Walker, I'm going to give him a one for this one, definitely. Best game he's played all season. He seems to have got that balance right between going forward and coming back. There was a time when he came right across the pitch with the ball, but it was good, you know, it was effective. And, you know, he seems to be building himself pretty well. I know people have been complimenting him over the last few weeks. He's obviously getting better and better, you know, improving, which is great. You know, that's what we want to see. What are you giving Walker, mate?
Yeah, I agree. I'm definitely giving him a one as well. I thought he, like you say, had one of his best games. He was overlapping. I don't know whether it was because Lennon was on, but he was, if you noticed, he was overlapping Lennon. You know, he was getting down the wings. You know, there was pace about his game. Fantastic goal as well, you know, free kick. You know, he's got that in his locker. And, you know, very clever, you know, whether he meant it or not, I don't know. You know, to keep it low, below, you know, to go below the wall. You know, a lot of people talk about that there. But, you know, great goal, great for his confidence. All-round, really strong, energetic game for us. And I thought he was fantastic. Very unfortunate as well, just with the penalty incident. You know, it was him that, you know, made that tackle with Fittich. And, you know, there's not too many guys who go in 50-50, you know, with Fittich there on the ball. And he was just that wee bit late getting in on him. And, you know, it was unfortunate not to come away where the ball maybe would have, again, there's our luck. Usually the ball might have ricocheted out, you know, for a throw-in. But Fittich won a ball up to Rooney and, you know, great ball in from Rooney for the penalty. But, no, I thought Walker was immense and great to see him. And good interview after the game, so... So really good to see.
Yeah, he seems like a bright lad, actually, whenever he's interviewed. Obviously, he did make the mistake for the first Rooney goal, but I've negated that for the goal that he scored, so that levelled that one out.
You know, again, it was unfortunate, but, you know, they're just the things that always seem to happen. And, you know, for all the people that had the ricochet to, it was Wayne Rooney.
Yeah.
And, you know, he wasn't going to miss, you know, but it's just the way it goes sometimes.
How about Kirakesh?
Yeah, I thought he was outstanding. He was near enough my man of the match for the game. Definite one. He's got pace, great tackles, you know, getting back in the corner there against people. He's strong. And I just think this guy is a real top, top player, a real find for us. And, you know, as we get stronger as a team and we go along, I think this guy's nearly the number one on the team sheet.
Yeah, I was talking to a mate of mine today and I was saying that him, Vertonghen and Kabul, you know, they are such a strong three. You know, unfortunately Dawson, you know, is a fantastic player, Premiership player. But when we're looking for that little bit extra, you know, and it's nothing, you know, Dawson can't give any more. He just isn't that quick enough. You know what I mean? He hasn't got that little bit extra in his game, and that's nothing to, it's not his fault. You know, he's just a really good solid central defender, but we, you know, we're now looking for that little bit extra which I think these three players can give us, and just a little tweak as we go on the next few games, particularly the big, you know, the Liverpool game, if we're going to play our full strength, is just, I'd just replace Dawson with Kabul, and you've got pretty much there, you know, our best back four. Because Dawson, you know, you cannot fault him for his effort and what have you. And he will have some fantastic games throughout the rest of the season. He definitely will. But, you know, he's in the spotlight at the moment. And I know Arsenal fans think he's a joke, which is really, really harsh. Because think about the number of big lumps, you know, who played in their centre-back. You know, you're talking Steve Bould, you're talking Martin Keown, you're talking Andy Linegan and people like that. You know, and David O'Leary. I mean, you're telling me that Dawson is, you know, any worse than those guys? No, you know, he's out of that mould, isn't he? He's that big, strong centre-back, you know, who can pass the ball and, you know, can get his head on it as well. But, you know, when we've got three other guys who are just that little bit better, You know, he might find himself on the bench, but not, you know, we'll see.
Do you think...
Go on.
You know, I'm sort of thinking the strongest squad, if we get a left-back, you know, and we send a new left-back in January, or Danny Rose gets back in, do you not think it's going to be, you know, Flad and Vertonghen as the back two pair?
At the moment, yeah, because Cabool's not looking that great, but we know what Cabool can do. But what I would say is, you know, like Chelsea, they've got Terry... David Luiz and Cahill, and they rotate those three, don't they? Or they will do when they're all fit. You know, the three excellent central defenders. And I suppose they'd do that at Arsenal if Marlon was any good, but, you know, he's out of form at the moment. And like I say every week, we're just waiting for Koscielny or Mertesacker to get injured, and then they're in trouble. Yeah. Or Giroud to get injured, and then they're in trouble. And they're still not injured. So, you know, that's why they're doing so well. So Dawson, I'm going to only give a half, unfortunately, just because he looks... He sticks out like a bit of a sore thumb at the moment, not as good as the other guys. What are you giving Dawson?
Yeah, I was actually going to give Dawson a one.
All right,
you know,
that's fine.
I thought he had a good, you know, a good steady game. Didn't really do anything wrong, but I know what you're saying. You know, when it comes down to what we believe is probably our strongest defence, you know, I think he will be the backup player for us, you know.
And what are you giving Vertonghen?
I'm giving Vertonghen a one. Again, I thought he was strong, playing in the position where we know he doesn't want to be, but, you know, he had a good, strong game and, you know, didn't put a foot wrong.
Yeah, me too. What about Sandro? What are you going to give Sandro?
A five? What a goal, Steve. Look, everybody that listens to this show knows how much we love Sandro. I think every Spurs fan loves Sandro.
Every podcast is saying about Sandro at the moment. I'm trying to be different. I can't. I can't. It's impossible to, isn't it?
He is. You know, he's unbelievable. You know, he had a great game all round, but what a goal, Steve! You know, and for him to do it as well, I think everybody was so delighted that it was, you know, it was Sandro that got that goal, and it was outstanding. You know, whenever he hit it, you know, even obviously I was watching on TV, it just sort of, you weren't too sure, and then it just hit the back of the net, and when you seen the other angles, it was unreal. I'm sure watching live in a stadium, it was fantastic.
Oh, it was brilliant. I mean, you know, we were asking for one of these guys to step up and show us what they got. But you could see from about 5 seconds before when he got the ball, he sort of looked around and you could see, you know, from as far away as he was, when he started attacking, was it Jones?
Cleverly.
When he started attacking him and he just thought, you thought, right, he's going to turn in one way or the other and try and get a shot away here. You could just tell. He was like, right, you know, I'm going to do something. And that's what we've been asking these other players, you know. Get the ball, you know, look for the pass, that's fine. But if there's nothing on or if you just think, you know, right, I'll tell you what, I'm going to give it a go here. That's what Frank Lampard does and Stevie Gerrard has been doing for years. You know, they play it on, pass it, they do sorts of things. But, they, you know, they think to themselves, if they haven't had a couple of shots on goal, you know, they think, right, time to have a shot here because I want to get myself on the score sheet. That's what we love to see. So Sandro gets a definite one for me. And, you know, first name on the team sheet, absolutely brilliant. Then we've got interesting here, Dembele and Paulinho, who I thought played the best game they have for a long, long time for both of them. However, saying that, I'd swap them over. Because it was clear that Dembele was given instructions to hold back and Paulinho was given the instruction to really push on and almost play alongside Soldado. But what I think is if you push Dembele up alongside Soldado, then Paulinho, although you're saying to him, you know, get back, he can also get forward because he's so mobile. Whereas Dembele is, a little bit lazier, a little bit more like, you know, I'll hang back and I won't get forward as much, you know, if I'm told not to. I think Paulinho can get up and back. So I'd make him the link player in between Sandro and Dembele and put Dembele up top a little bit more. But Paulinho played his best game for Spurs without a doubt. And a great, great run and pass to Soldado. You know, in the first half, which should have made it 2-0. And, you know, I loved Soldado's reaction. You know, I didn't like the shot, obviously, and he tried to find the top corner and whack it in, obviously. But I love that thing where the continental players, when they miss, they're like, it's desperately. And, you know, whereas you see like a Theo Walcott or one of our English players miss a goal and they're just like, jaw open, slack jaw, running back to the centre circle. Oh, missed another one. You know, so anyway, I'd say, yeah, I've given them both one. Dembele and Paulinho, one each.
Yeah, I agree. And I was surprised as well whenever I seen the lineup. I expected, because obviously we have chatted about it, that we both believe that Dembele should play, you know, the further up role. And I was surprised at the start. But to be fair, Steve, it worked. I thought Dembele was outstanding for us. He was strong. Did you see him holding Wayne Rooney off? You know, there's not many players can hold Wayne Rooney off with strength. And I all round, I thought he had a great game. I thought Paulinho had a very, very strong game as well. You know, and the good thing about him is his energy and his work rate. But as I say, you know, possibly we would change it round, but who are we to know? And maybe we'll see it at another stage.
Yeah.
Maybe if the likes of Kapui or something comes into the team, maybe Dembele will go forward. But just good to see all three of them in there, and thought they all linked very, very well.
Yeah, superb. Right, Lennon, what are you giving Lennon?
Yeah, I'm going to give Lennon a half. So I thought he had a good game. Still, I thought he gave Evra a hard time, but still not doing enough in my eyes. You know, I think this guy should be in and should be having shots and just doing a lot more with the ball. But we can't really fault the guy. He definitely had a decent game for us. The reaction of the crowd whenever he got subbed, you know, the boos that rang around, you know, it was so obvious, you know, came across on the TV. It was hard to hear, but I couldn't believe it whenever he took him off, Steve. I really couldn't. You know,
is that because Chatty, you thought he was going to take Chadley off?
Yeah. I thought the obvious choice was Chadley. You know, maybe moving Lennon over on the left if he wanted to bring Townsend on the right, or just Townsend on the left. And I think it was a shock, but sort of thought a wee bit about it later on. And, you know, maybe Chadley was doing more of a defensive job on that side of the pitch.
Mm.
You know, so maybe that was the reason for it. But
well, funnily enough, when he did make that substitute, for the next 10, 15 minutes or whatever, Chadley, I thought, was very, very good. Because there was a couple of blokes behind me who kept reminding me how rubbish Chadley was. And every time he got the ball, we said, "Oh, what's he going to do here?" And he actually passed it and laid it off. And he didn't put a foot wrong, actually. He didn't do anything wrong. And eventually I was like, you know, turning round, because I was like, you know, just please stop having a go at our player, you know, our players. This guy's a new fella. You know, he looks as if he's got no confidence, I have to say. And that's, you know, a lot down to the Spurs fans who have, you know, kind of taken a dislike to him straight away. The other player who got absolute pelters was Townsend again. You know, the way that some Spurs fans treating this guy, you know, is just absolutely awful, I think. You know, for him coming in, being a Spurs man, you know, we just don't encourage him at all. You know, it's all like he gets on the ball, it's like, pass it, you know, people shouting around me. And I just don't think he knows what he's doing at the moment, which is why he's out the side. Because you can see him with the ball, you can see he wants to cut in and have a shot, or cut in and lay it off, or do whatever. And he's just thinking, oh no, if I muck up here, I'm going to get absolute pelters from the Spurs crowd. Whereas Lennon makes a mistake, and we're all cheering, going, don't worry, Lennon, you know, we love you, mate. So, you know, it's a strange
one. I think it sort of shows, you know, the Townsend, you know, he is under, you can sort of, looking at his body language, it nearly looks as if he is under pressure, and feels nearly that he's still having to try and prove himself every time, you know, he goes on the pitch, especially at White Hart Lane. But, we love the guy. I think he's been great this season.
I think he's been great. And if he'd just got his toe on the end of that, you know, shades of foe up at Man City. Sorry to remind everybody of that. But, you know, you're an inch away, aren't you, from a fantastic result and it turning everything around. What are you giving Chadley then? We haven't given him a score yet.
I was going to give Chadley a half. I thought he had, as you say, maybe quite good, you know, once Lennon went off. But again, it's just slightly disappointing, Steve. Look, he's a big unit. He's a big, big guy. But the guy's had a lot of injuries. You know, he hasn't really had a chance to settle into the team. It was quite nice to see him actually get a start. And I do think this guy can be very, very dangerous for us and very, very strong. And, you know, in the future, but just needs a bit of time and needs to get games safe.
Yeah, I've just got a feeling he's got a couple of winning goals in him. I think he's. Yeah. I think we'll be playing in mid-February or somewhere in a FA Cup game, or, you know, when we're desperate for a goal and he'll come on or he'll be on the pitch and all of a sudden he'll smack one in the top corner, like, you know, like Nico Crenshaw did a few times for us. Although obviously I think, you know, Crenshaw is more of a talent. You know, this guy I think has got a bit of a welly on him, and you know, I think he's got a contribution to make. I'll give him a half as well, and then finally Soldado. What are you giving Soldado?
I'm going to give him a half. You know, I don't know what it is, Steve. You know, we chatted again about it. Is he just not getting the service? You know, I noticed that he was coming out of the box again. He was. You know, the guy's working hard, he's coming out trying to get involved, trying to get the ball, but it just isn't clicking for him at the minute. It really isn't, and I don't know, Steve, but I honestly do believe it will come for him. Couldn't believe he missed the chance. I think there are the chances that we expect him, you know, a bit like his goal at Aston Villa, you know, where he'll be cool and calculated, he'll just place the ball in the back of the net, so... You know, I'd still, look, I've got all the faith in the guy. I do believe it will come for him. But at the minute, it's just not happening. And I don't know whether that's through his fault or we're just not getting the service to him.
Yeah, I mean, like I said last week, he just needs it to fall at his feet a little bit, doesn't he? And then he can whack a couple in, you know. Yeah.
He needs to be in the box, Steve. Needs to be in that box and just stay in there.
Yeah.
You know.
You're right. I mean, that Bale hat-trick, if you saw that, you know, the can't remember the first one, but the other two were just good, great crosses in, and he was just in the box and he tapped it in. That's what he needs, yeah. You know, just to get in the box, someone to put a really nice cross in. I mean, Crystal Palace, the guy who put the cross, have you seen that goal tonight?
No.
Guy for Crystal Palace put a fantastic ball in, and, you know, there's Shamak, who's possibly one of the worst strikers I've ever seen. But it's a brilliant ball straight on his head. And all he has to do is just stand there, basically, and it goes off his head and in the goal. That's what he needs. He needs just someone to just pick him out, or the ball to fall at him, or a deflection or something. But, you know, it'll come. Because I love his little touches and flicks. And he is a presence on the pitch. He looks tough. And, you know, him and Vidic were having a bit of a ding-dong. But... he can do more, so I'm only giving him a half, because there were times in that game where it was like, come on, Soldado, move yourself. You know, don't just wait for the ball to come to you. And, he has sort of 10, 15 minutes in each game, in each half, it seems, where he's like, oh, just have a little breather here. And it's like, no, you can't do that in the Premier League.
Yeah. These big games, two big games coming up for him, you know, we need him to put the ball in the net against Fulham and against Sunderland. These are the games that this guy's got us goals in, so it'll be interesting to see. Or, you know, he could be out of the side, it could be Jermaine Defoe in.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, mate, well, I mean, moving on, is there anything else you want to say about the game?
No, I just want to talk just roughly about the game. I just thought the overall performance, Steve, you know, after the 6-0 defeat of Man City, you know, we proved a lot of people wrong again, you know, that, you know, we are a decent
proved
side.
Proved me wrong.
Yeah, and good to see some exciting football. It was really, really enjoyable. And it's one thing we always say as Spurs fans, you know, if it's an enjoyable game and we see that the team's making an effort and going for it, like, I still believed at the end of that game that we maybe could sneak a winner. I still sort of thought Man United were going to sneak one as well. But, you know, it was one of those games that was enjoyable. And at the end... you know, I had a smile on my face, enjoyed the match, slightly disappointed that we didn't win, but, hey, you know, I know Man United aren't firing all cylinders, but, you know, that's three games now Man United haven't beat us.
Yeah, and you take, and Man United, you take 2-2, you know, at the start of the season every single time, wouldn't you?
Yeah, exactly.
Because, you know, they have still got some great players, they've got the reputation. And, you know, they'll be up there at the end of the season. You know, they will. You know, Vidic is an outstanding defender, and Rooney is just a brilliant, brilliant player. who loves playing against Tottenham. And, you know, you have to say if they had Van Persie, it might have been a bit different. But that was fine. You know, once again, another game, we didn't get a big slice of luck. You know, perhaps we could have been talking about that refereeing decision going our way, which would have been nice, but it didn't happen again. And so we move on. Right, so anything else to say about the game there, mate?
No, I'm happy. I think we've covered everything there.
Yeah. I'll tell you what sums up Tottenham. Match of the day, if you watched it. They had Lawrenson and Dion Dublin. And this just about sums up Tottenham. Because Dion Dublin said that he thinks that we are overachieving. He said there are a lot better sides than us. And we're doing really well. And then Lawrenson was shaking his head, and he said, no, they're actually underachieving, because they have got a really good side, and they should be a lot higher in the league. You know, so you've got two experts there. No one can see my fingers going experts. But, you know, you've got two guys there, you know, who are working for the BBC on a flagship TV show, both with completely opposite views about Tottenham. And so it is so difficult when you're a Spurs fan, you know, getting your points across, particularly to people who, you know, follow other clubs, trying to say, well, we have achieved, done pretty well, but then we haven't, you know, and that just about sums it up. Whereas a lot of the other sides in the league, you know, you can sort of justify it just one way. Anyway, mate, you got some fantasy football results there.
Yeah, fantasy football, okay. Top 10 in first place still, Dan Jones, Chrissy Rich, Adam Barrett, Carl Woodbridge, Patrick Morris, Kurt Fothek, Dean Witter, George and Anthony Farrow, John Perez, and Daniel Pearson. Steve, you have dropped to number 100, the big 100.
That's because when we play a side, I have to take the player out that we're playing against. Otherwise, it's too weird for me. Like I had to take Rooney out. And who did I replace him with? Sturridge. He's blimmin' injured. And the other striker's Berbatov, so I got no chance.
Oh, dear. I've dropped down to 30th place there, but I'm still touching distance, so just need one really good week and I'll be up there in the top 10. Most points this week with 68 points was Simon Short. So that was good there from Simon. At the bottom of the league, Angus Doodle, Mason Joseph, Graham Lambert, Lee Berry and Michael Parker. So a real good league. I noticed there was another six people actually with Arsenal players, which I found this week. So all six have gone out of the league. And would you believe five out of the six had three Arsenal players? And it was so easy this week because anybody with real big points had Ramsey in their team.
Yeah.
So they were all taken out, and it worked out. Actually, 38 people have taken out of the Hotspurs podcast league, would you believe? So let this all be warned.
Can you have...
I might have to get rid of the 29 people in front of me as well.
I don't understand it. These are people who have Arsenal players in the fantasy football team. My goodness. And if you disagree with me, then you're going to have to argue with Flav as well from the Fighting Cock.
Yep.
He vehemently disagrees with having an Arsenal player in your side. So there you go. I've got him on my side. Right, we've got a shout-out from the Spurs podcast as well. New one.
Okay.
They said that because we mentioned them, so that's good. So go listen to that. That's good. A couple of guys just doing what we do, really, talking about Spurs. Listen to all the shows, as we say every week. You don't have to listen to the Arsenal ones, because I do, just for you. And like I say, this week they were banging on about Dawson is you know, as long as Dawson's in the side, then, you know, that we won't do anything, basically, which I thought was very harsh. But one of the big things they were talking about, believe it or not, and this really was amazing, was of course the AVB spat with the journalist there sticking up for himself, I think you'd call it. And I was waiting for it because I thought there is no way on earth these Arsenal podcasts or Arsenal fans can possibly take the mickey out of AVB about being angry at journalists. Because, hello, who is the ultimate manager who loses it at least four or five times in a season at the journalists. It's Wenger, isn't it? I mean, yeah, my goodness. Yet they still said, they even made a comment like, oh, you know, not like when Wenger, you know, has a pop at the press. He does it in this way or that way. No, he doesn't. He absolutely loses it with them. And we all laugh hysterically. I mean, you know, this thing about an agenda, you know, the fact is that these are journalists who from day one said AVB is not good enough. And let's take my mate, you know, Adrian Durham as the best example of this, because most people will listen to that rather than read newspapers, blah, blah, blah. But of course, most news journalists did say he's not good enough. And these articles all say he's not good enough. So their agenda is basically keeping him in a job, isn't it? Being a good journalist. So when we win, of course, what Adrian Durham has to do is pick out all the negatives. And when we lose, jumps on it like, yeah, I told you he was rubbish. I told you he didn't have a clue and all this. Because that's their agenda. It's their job, which is fine. But that's why they do it. And that's why AVB says you've got an agenda. Because that's literally their job. Because if they then turn around and say, oh, no, what a good manager he is, their boss goes, well, wait there. 18 months ago, you said he was no good. You said he'd be rubbish. You better bring your P45 to me, mate, Monday morning. You're clearly a rubbish journalist. And that is the agenda that I think is going on here. You know, they don't want to be seen to be positive about a guy that they've not the whole time.
Yeah, exactly. But I thought his press conference was great. And, you know, the we as us has obviously been a big thing that's come out there on Twitter with what he said. And I thought he spoke really well. And, you know, he picked out the two guys sitting there and he wasn't afraid to take them head on. And I thought he was brilliant. And I think he got a lot of supporters back on side, especially after when he had a go at the supporters there two or three weeks ago.
Yeah.
So I think it just showed. It showed his passion. It showed he cares. But do you know what, Steve? The bottom line was he was exactly right in what he was saying.
Absolutely.
Exactly right in what he was saying.
And he was exactly right about the supporters. And what's the atmosphere been like since he had a go at the supporters? Much better. 100 times better.
Yeah. I'm sure, did you notice it yourself, a big difference in Sunday?
Massive difference. Yeah. You know, people sort of nudging each other going, it's been a bit quiet for 5 minutes. Come on, let's get going, you know. He's absolutely right.
One thing came across to me, like when I'm usually at the Man United games, but when United come, their away support is fantastic. You know, they sing for 90 minutes. But on TV, I didn't hear too much of the Man United songs going on. You know, it was coming across a lot of Spurs stuff as well. And, you know, that atmosphere sounded great.
No, it was really good. But you know, things like, you know, so he's read this article by this Neil Ashton. And, you know, things like saying anybody could have managed Porto, me or you, he says, me or you could have managed Porto. And, you know, and picking out players like Hulk and Falcao or whatever. You know, and I'm thinking, well, wait there. Where is Hulk and Falcao in terms of world football? Very, very good players. But it's not as if he's saying, well, you had Messi and Ronaldo, the best two players in the world. You know, it wasn't. It was Hulk and Falcao. I mean, very, very good players. But are they going to win the Ballon d'Or or whatever it is this year? Are they even in the running? Are they even in the top 20 strikers in the world? You know, maybe. But they're not exactly, you know, Martinho. Yeah, very good player. But he's not the best player in the world either. So, you know, he did well, didn't he? He did phenomenally well with Porto. And whether me or you could have done it, I don't know. But it was like a matter of fact. Me or you could have won that league with Porto. And then he's saying things like, AVB is not good enough for the job. And if that's not a personal attack on the guy, I don't know what is. And he's saying things like, I've only met him a couple of times, so I don't know how it can be personal. Well, you saying you're not good enough, AVB is not good enough, is a pretty personal attack on that person that you're attacking there. And also, if you look at his article subsequently, I've got it up here, and it says things like, what made AVB angry? You know, that's a real presumption. That's like telling the reader of this article that AVB was really angry straight away. It's not like saying, you know, what was AVB saying? or what was it that AVB was talking about? It's what made AVB angry, as if to say he's lost it. You know, this is You know, it's just a clever way of putting your point across and getting everybody on your side by saying, you know, what did I do wrong? I didn't do anything wrong. But of course, it's all about journalism, and it's all about being, being the best they could be. And for Neil Ashton, it's brilliant, isn't it, for his career, because everybody knows who he is now. And, he'll probably get an increase in his salary now, so well done.
Yeah, exactly. But no, as I said, I thought he came across well. Good to see him fighting for the club, fighting for the team.
Yeah.
He made some great points at them and didn't back down. So.
And all you need to do, like I said last week, is go and listen to
back on board.
Yeah, go and listen to the BBC Inside Tottenham podcast. That's where he did the interview. That's where he said, we should be ashamed of ourselves. There is no inkling at all as if he's blaming the players and not himself. He's saying everybody. And the other thing is, this week, which I listened to today, all this stuff that AVB said in the press conference, he was asked by the journalists. He said, "You've had some really bad articles this week, AVB. What do you think of them?" So of course he's going to respond. So he was asked these questions anyway, but they cut all that out. As if he just said, "I want to talk about you reporters." No. He was asked those questions by the reporters themselves to comment on the articles. So it's crazy. But, Mourinho does it, Fergie does it, Rodgers does it, Moyes does it, and they'll do it throughout the season where they get a little bit of criticism. And the best one for me is Sam Allardyce. Now, someone said that his comments were taken out of context, him saying that AVB's been a bit immature. But what's funny is they lost to Crystal Palace tonight, right? So there's going to be negative reports about Sam Allardyce over the next couple of days. I wonder how he's going to react. "Oh, yes, well done, Neil. You said that my team played rubbish the other night and I'm a terrible manager." "Yeah, I agree with you. Look how mature I am." Rubbish. He's not going to do that at all. He'll kick half of them out. You can just see it. So there we go. Right, mate, we've got just a couple of things to cover here. Very quickly, I went to the Hall of Fame dinner for Mike England and Alan Gilzean the other night. Absolutely brilliant. I mean, Spurs, these guys are legends. They had Alan Mullery there, who said some great things. Also, Pat Jennings, who said some lovely things as well. They all told stories. And the best thing, I haven't told you this, mate, but Paul Coit, who was sitting just behind me, and I turned around to him and said, Steve from the Hotspurs podcast, he said, "Oh, you won't believe this. On the train up, I listened to your podcast, the Mike England shows, and I've actually written down the questions that you asked." And what happened was we went up, and when he introduced Mike, he said, "So you played with Pelé? Could you tell us all about that?" And he's like, and I was looking at him, and he sort of gave me a thumbs up, and then he said he wants to be on the show as well. So that's good.
Excellent.
But, he was talking about at half time at the Man United game when Leddy King was getting his moustache shaved off, and he had to fill the dead air, and it was really embarrassing. So that was funny. But we'll have him on in a couple of weeks. He's a really good guy. Absolutely loves Spurs.
Excellent. Yeah. Excellent. And what was there a good crowd at the night?
Yeah, no, really good, really good. Everybody was great. Alan Gilzean as well, telling stories about going out drinking with Dave Mackay and stuff like that. So, it was brilliant. Absolutely great. Okay. Right, we've got two games coming up, Fulham and Sunderland. And, my goodness, we better win both of them. What do you reckon?
Yeah, well, you know, you said it in the last show. These are the two games. You know, Martin Yole has gone there. You know, everybody at Spurs still loves Martin Yole. I was sort of hoping he was maybe still going to be there for this game, because usually these teams, they lose the manager and then they seem to have a bit of a response. But, look, Fulham, I watched only a match a day, the highlights of them, and they are a poor, poor side, and we have to go there and get 3 points. We have to. And the same with Sunderland, not a great side either. So look, it's two massive games for us, Steve, and it's gonna tell a lot, because if we can do games, come out with 6 points, Liverpool at home, and then we have another couple of really nice games over the Christmas period. So massive opportunity for us to to just get back up there. We're only 3 points off second place, or is it, sorry, fourth place in the league. You know, get these couple of victories. A couple of teams above us have got really, really tough games coming up. So, massive, mate. Really.
Would you do squad rotation, or would you try and stick with the same side, try and get in gelling, you know, this side that we've got at the moment?
Yeah, I would like to see him gel. After that performance on Sunday, I would like to think that he'll stick with the same team.
Yeah, me too.
I possibly could see him maybe go with maybe Jermaine Defoe, possibly. You know, Jermaine Defoe must be knocking on his door saying, like, you know, I need a chance here. You know, it's a World Cup year for him. You know, he needs an opportunity. Soldado, again, hasn't scored any goals, so might happen. But I do think he will stick with Soldado here, and wouldn't it be great if he could just get a couple of goals? Wouldn't it be lovely if he scored twice and we won 2-0? And, you know, everybody up and going again. I think the game against Sunderland is the live game, is it, on,
yes, on Saturday evening? Yeah.
Yeah, so it's going to be an interesting one.
Yeah, no. I hope we win both of them because, you know, if we do, the pressure will be off a little bit more. But I'll tell you what, if we don't, man, that is going to be quite something, isn't it? There'll be loads to talk about. Look, it's still early days. And if people, by the way, got the impression that me and Colin wanted AVB out last week, let me be very clear, very clear. We do not want him out at all. Even if he loses the next two games, he can't go. There's no one else to come in. You know, he needs time. You've got to give these guys time to sort it out and get it right. You know, the one thing about AVB is that by that press conference, by the way, is how much passion and how much he wants to do well. He's desperate to do well at Spurs. So we've got to get behind him. And he might make some more mistakes. And he might make a few dodgy things coming up. I mean, you know, he might choose players and you think, my goodness, what's he chosen him for? But, you know, we've got to have faith in him and give him a chance. And then, you know, in a few months' time, you know, if it's looking a bit desperate, do something then. But, you know, it's still early days. You've got to remember that. All right, Cole?
Yeah, exactly. You know, and that's what we're saying. You know, we're not going to come on last week's show and sit and pretend everything's rosy, you know, and everything's great. You know, we're trying to be honest on this show. And I think most of the Spurs podcasts, probably all of them, are as well. And, you know, it's like nobody can tell me that they sit in their living room and watch a match like Man City or sit on the ground and don't slag off AVB or slag off certain players. You know, we're all passionate about our team. You know, and we all say things, but it doesn't mean that we want people to get sacked. You know, we've supported AVB as much as anybody. Davey, the Spurs poet, was on last week as well, and you know, that's what we're about. You know, and you know, fingers crossed we get these 6 points and get back into the winning ways, and you know, get these players like Soldado and guys that are there playing. You know.
All right, mate. Come on, you Spurs.
Okay, then. Come on, you Spurs. Come on, that's 6 points. That's what we want. Come on.